you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is putting the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no... And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be David Holly, Mike Gregg, and Giannis Janaeus, who will be calling us from Rome. In this episode, we'll discuss the latest in Fulham news, which includes a loan signing that just happened today. Also talk about some transfer speculation. And we have two great topics to go through in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, along with some questions from you. We truly have a full show. Before we get going, I have to say hello to my co-host first. David, how you doing, my friend?
Hi, Russ. Bit tired this week. Can't wait to get back to hospital next week, to be honest with you. Get it over and done with. Hopefully, I can then get my full recovery on track. Glad to be back though, of course, and hello everyone, hello Mike, and hello Giannis, hopefully. Take my mind off things for an hour or so will be great.
Yeah, listen, you know, that's why I'm glad that you could join us. I know that you have another surgery coming up, and we all wish you the best, and I'm just glad that you could come on with us today, and that's a wonderful thing. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good, and looking forward to the show. And my recovery's fine. I've got another week off work, but then it's ease myself back in, I think. So, things good.
Okay, great, Mike. It's funny because I'm glad that we could do this show. Try to keep your mind off of what you're dealing with, and of course what David's dealing with, so we can do this. I just got a little message from Giannis. He's having troubles joining us from Rome. For some reason, the Skype button's not showing on the link. Hopefully he can get that to work, and he'll be joining us too. You know, definitely want to hear from Giannis. I've been trying to get him back on the show for a while, but again, he's away in Rome right now. So hopefully, like I said, we'll get that working for him. All right, guys, let's start the show. Let's start here. We have to start here with our Fulham news and transfer speculation section that I'm going to go through. Fulham announced this morning the signing of 22-year-old left-back Luke Garbutt from Everton on a season-long loan. I'm just going to read this to you. It was directly from the Fulham website because I find it interesting. Again, this is directly from Fulham. Fulham Football Club is delighted to announce the season-long loan signing of defender Luke Garbutt from Everton. The 22-year-old defender has represented England at all youth levels from under-16s to under-21s, has recently represented his country in the UEFA European Under-21 Championships this summer. Garbutt started his youth career at Leeds United before moving to Everton in 2009. He made over 50 appearances and scored 5 goals during his 2 loan spells at Cheltenham Town and Colchester United. On his return to the Northwest, he made his first team debut for the Toffees in the Premier League match against Southampton in April 2014, which led to a first call-up to the England under-21 side. Speaking to Fulham FC, Garbutt said, again, this is a quote from Luke Garbutt, "When I got the call saying Fulham wanted me on a season-long loan, I spoke to the manager and the staff here, and I like what they had to say and their plans for me this season. They've shown their faith and trust in me. I'm really looking forward to working with the boys, and obviously the main objective is to get promoted this season." Okay, that is directly from Luke Garbutt, and you can read that quote on FulhamFC.com. Mike, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts about the loan signing and also the comment from Luke Garbutt about the goal here is to get promoted for Fulham this season?
I think it's a decent signing. We've needed a left back. He isn't the experienced one some people would have preferred, but he's highly rated. He's been played for the under-21 side a few times, and he's had a couple of games where he's been a bit iffy. That kind of age, isn't it, where they're still learning the game? But he's a promising player. 5-year contract they gave him just recently, so they obviously see him replacing for Baines eventually when he leaves. And most fans' reactions I've seen is that they rate him quite highly. So it's good for us. Doesn't mean we're going to. It's not a gamble in the sense that we're going to spend a load of money on him. And if it all works out well, he helps us get promotion, we'll be very happy. And I don't see a downside on this either. You know, I mean, there are question marks about Kavanagh, whether he's strong enough at the moment. And it's going to be hopefully a good competition, two of them at left back position. And looking at it, he's played in the lower leagues. He's got about 50 games behind him. So, you know, it's not as if he's not played any league football. So, yeah, really pleased with it, to be honest.
Yeah, listen, I'm really pleased with that as well. And I'm going to go back to you in a second. And Giannis is still, just so everyone knows, trying to connect via Skype. And David, I want to get your thoughts on the loan signing, because we're going to be talking about a little bit later. Roger Lewis had a question about the loan situation. And I'll be curious when we talk about players coming on loan. But just overall, bringing in a player like Luke Garbutt, he actually did play for Everton last season in the Europa League. So that's very interesting. And I also want to get your thoughts, because right before we did this show, I saw a quick interview with Roberto Martinez, the manager for Everton. And he mentioned that, again, he liked the plan that Fulham have in place for Luke. And the style of play that, again, I'm paraphrasing, that he believes he's going to be entering. So, again, I just want to get your overall thoughts on the signing and everything that we're talking about with Luke Garbutt.
In the main, I'm pleased, obviously, because it's clearly a position that we are weak in and we need to strengthen. In an ideal world, of course, we'd be signing our own player, someone, you know, who's going to be there in the long run. But in the absence of finding someone else who can do that job, I guess it's the best option for now. And at least it is for a whole season. So we have some sort of stability. I'd be kind of, ironically, I'd be interested to see what Giannis has to say, because I remember when we signed Ashley Richards on loan, he was quite upset that Ashley Richards was getting in the team in ahead of Fulham players. So would he feel the same, that this means that maybe Kavanagh and Vosa and other people won't get in the team, which for me personally, I'm quite pleased about, because I think we're very weak in that area. But I think it sounds like a good move all round. And obviously, there's been some discussions between the clubs at managerial level that they wanted to make sure that he was going to get, you know, be utilised in the right way, I suppose, which I assume means he's going to be, you know, more or less first choice, assuming things go all right, that he's going to get plenty of game time, not to come here and sit on the bench. And also, you know, to be utilised in a way that Everton feel is good for his development as well. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm pretty happy with it. As I say, I probably would like our own player in an ideal world, perhaps someone a bit more experienced. But let's say I wouldn't say it's desperate, but, you know, the season isn't that far away. We clearly needed to strengthen in that area. That was our number one position. So, you know, I'm sort of moderately happy with it all.
Okay, great. And it's funny that you mentioned Giannis, because it looks like Giannis is with us, so we can ask him. Giannis, welcome back to Cottage Talk. How's Rome?
Hello!
Pronto!
I'm sitting in the Hotel Atlantico in Rome, and it's really nice here at the moment. It's nice and warm. I think it's 30 degrees outside, and I'm delighted to be back.
It's great to have you back, and it's so funny because David was just mentioning you. You probably heard him wanting to hear your thoughts on Luke Garbutt, and also the fact that he's coming on loan, and he brought up your thoughts about Jazz Richards last season. So I'm curious your thoughts about this loan situation with Luke Garbutt.
I've got two sides to this one. I mean, if you got on the forums, Garbutt's highly rated by Everton fans, so in that sense, it's a good signing. But again, it's a loan, and that's the old thing. Last year, I wasn't exactly impressed with the Jazz Richards nonsense with Grimmer, and I'm still not impressed that we signed him anyway. We've picked up money, obviously, from the Patrick Roberts deal. I like to think that we've got some money in the kitty to go out and buy a good fullback, but we'll see how this goes. I know that left back has been an issue. It was last year anyway. So I'm hoping Garbutt's going to come in, but I don't, again, you know, players like Kavanagh, you still want to give them a chance as well. So I'm a little nervous as well, Russ, 2 weeks ahead of the season, because We've still not signed any centre backs. We still look a bit leaky, and that was our Achilles heel last year. So,
listen, like I completely agree with you about the centre backs. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Giannis.
I was going to say I'm actually going to be at the cottage next Saturday.
Great! Game.
So I'm going to have a chance to have a modem of pitch with other fans. I'm curious to see how we're going to look.
Now, listen, very good point, and I'm glad that you're going to be at the cottage for the Crystal Palace match, and definitely look forward to getting your thoughts on what you witnessed there, Giannis. And I want to go right back to you because, again, I was just mentioning that right before we started the show, I watched this interview with Roberto Martinez, and he's excited about this loan opportunity for Luke Garbutt. He thinks it's going to help his development. He is the heir apparent to Leighton Baines. That's the plan. And that goes back to what you just said. This is a loan situation. I doubt it highly that he is going to be a full player. You know, again, things can change, but right now this is a one-year rental. So, you know, I'm curious, you know, again, Martinez played, his style is very, you know, his teams go forward. They're very aggressive, especially with their fullbacks. Do you think he got any assurances from Kit that our style would fit with what he's doing at Everton?
That's a possibility. I'm more inclined to believe he got assurances about playing time.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a concern. Because if Garbutt's good enough to play in the 11, you know, and he can really help us, that's one thing. But if as part of a loan deal, he's been told, well, you know, you're going to get X amount of playing time, then I'm worried about the development of the youngsters. I just want to make sure that we can develop them properly. We want to get promoted, obviously. I suppose what I'm trying to say is I'm a bit leery of the loan signings, getting a little bored of it all. We've got money in the kitty. I mean, why go out and buy a Big Mac when you can go to the restaurant with the missus and have a nice steak? So, you know, you've got the money in the bank, spend the damn money. seen that contract, that new contract that's coming in 2016-17, it's massive. If we can get back, if we can be promoted, we're going to be part of that loot.
But, true.
We have to have good players in because this is a tough division. And don't forget, we've got the Ha-Ha's coming back down.
Yep.
And they won't be easy. Bristol City, obviously, in League One. So it's going to be a tough season ahead.
I agree with you. It's an interesting situation. And, you know, that's why I wanted to bring it up because, you know, when we talk about the Q&A section, I'm going to read something from Roger Lewis because he is curious what you guys think about loan situations in general. And Giannis, I think your position is pretty well known, but when we get there, we'll go into a little bit more detail about loan situations. But Mike, you wanted me to go back to you about Roberto Martinez. Do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's really about what he said in the video. You know, we all know he's an intelligent. He will look at his players going out on loan and make sure they're at the right club. I'm sure there's, you know, although there's never going to be a guarantee he will play, but I'm sure he's got assurances that he will be first choice or compete with Kavanagh. And what I wanted to go back was you need to look at the club's long-term plan and you look at the contracts they're giving to the guys who they've signed this year. And then you have Kavanagh, who is high, I keep saying it, but he's highly rated by the coaches at the club. And they see him as long-term left back. And so the reason all out to sign someone is because, one, they've got Kavanagh already and they see him as the long-term solution. And so you bring in someone short-term, we get promotion next year, and then you can reassess where we are instead of signing someone else now when really the plans are 2-3 years down the line. They want Kavanagh to be ready. So I'd imagine those two competing, and if each of them can get maybe, you know, one of them 25, another one 20 games over the season, it's good for each player's development. And I suspect they've had that kind of conversation.
Okay, Mike, so you're really going on with the idea that the rental is more just to possibly get us promoted, to see if this player can put us over the top, and also push Kavanagh to potentially be what the Leighton Baines situation is with Luke Garbutt, as maybe they Fulham want him to be the heir apparent.
Yes, yeah, exactly. They do, you know, and they won that competition. That's why I'm saying they're not bringing in a senior person.
Okay, that makes sense.
Ahead of Kavanagh. So that's what I think is the, you know, is what's going on in the background there. Is they want, you've now got two left-footed left-backs. We're not going to muck around with Richards or Vosa playing there. And for me, that makes complete sense, and that gives you a good balance to the squad.
Okay, very good. Very good take there. Mike, David, before we move on from Luke Garbutt, any final thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's quite apparent that they do rate Kavanagh highly. It's just we haven't really seen it yet. I think he's got a long way to go to prove himself still. But if what Mike says is true, and if Kavanagh can develop still, then yeah, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, Mike just brought up a great point, because if they truly believe that Sean Kavanagh is the left back for the future, then why not bring in a player as a rental and also to push him in and, you know, and develop with? So again, this could be a win-win situation if they truly believe, like Mike thinks, that Sean Kavanagh in a couple seasons could be that left back. Then you bring in someone in the meantime that could potentially help you this season and also help the development of Kavanagh by pushing him. So maybe Mike, you're onto something. So again, very interesting take there. And looks like Giannis's line just dropped, and we could be dealing with that a little just as we deal with Skype. So Giannis, just try to dial back in, and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon. All right, guys, let's move on. And let's talk about this. Again, I was able to watch the entire friendly with Hertha Berlin on Wednesday in Austria. It was a 2-2 draw. Fulham came back from two goals down to draw a level in the second half. And Mike, I'm going to go to you. I know that you watched the first half. Can we learn anything from this friendly?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can begin to look at how he split the squad up into two groups to play the first game, and I suspect the team later on that he might put out for this afternoon. But you're beginning to see he's given a lot of the players who didn't play last year or were, you know, reserves on loan or, you know, just we never saw a lot of game time lost friendlies. So he's had a good look at Vosa. Kaká's had a lot of time, and you know, they're there trying to win places. But you look at the players who weren't playing and you put them into an 11 and you begin to see his ideas of the first team and going forward. But what you can learn, and the main thing I think everyone's pointing out, is that, you know, still defensively he isn't quite there. We gave away another penalty and you know, we were very shaky, certainly in that first half, which
absolutely
I went to the under 21 game, so I can't comment on the second half apart from Cooley's goal. But yeah, I mean, you just look at how players have stepped up and are trying to impress, and the shape of the team, which looks a sort of 4-4-2 in essence, that's what it looks like. And,
right.
But yeah, the worry still is, you're seeing it. I'm quite happy with any combination pretty much of the front six. It's who's going to be in that back four and how they're working as a unit. And there are at times sides too much space. So that is the concern, and that's what we're learning as such at the moment.
Listen, I completely agree with you, because the one thing that I took out of it is that I am still concerned about the back four, Mike. There's no question about that, especially the center back combination. And giving up another penalty is something that we should all be concerned about. This is now giving up two penalties and two friendlies, and that's not good. You know, again, it's definitely not good. The one positive I will take out of this was early in the second half when they did make the triple substitution. Again, I know it's fresh legs, but I like the combination of having Ben Pringle, LVC in there. I thought it looked a little dangerous. I mean, I'm in a positive way. I could see the potential of these players playing together. That to me is what excited me. But if I'm looking on it in a negative frame, it's definitely that defense is still very shaky. And David, I want to get your thoughts. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it or see the highlights. Do you think we can learn much from another friendly?
I thought it was fairly positive in respect that it was probably a higher standard of opposition than we'd faced up till now. You know, they're quite a good team, Hertha. And also, we seem to start the match really with more of a reserve team. There are a lot of the sort of the expected first team players didn't start, obviously on the bench or whatever. I think, you know, we didn't have Kearney in the team or LVC and, you know, others that you mentioned. I think we started, there was no McCormack or Smith either, and so on. So I thought, you know, although it was disappointing to concede the goals, the fact that we, you know, pulled ourselves around was a positive, really. And in the end, we certainly did look a bit better when we had some of the other names were introduced in the second half. So for me, I'd say I'm fairly positive with it. It's just, you know, all roads lead to Rome, and no pun intended for Yanis says that, you know, it's a central defence that, you know, it all, when you look at it, when you take out everything else, it's a central defence that is the concern.
Yeah, listen, I couldn't agree with you more, David, and I think that's where the emphasis hopefully is going to be with upgrading the club. I've said one, potentially two center backs should be brought in, and based on what I've watched so far, I'm not backing down on that. I think they need to upgrade the position. And nothing against Nikolai Bodaroff and Sean Hutchinson. I think that they could do a decent job. But if we really want to get promoted, and Mike, you've said this, we need to upgrade the position. I'm talking about as a duo, we need to do better at center backs, you know, as a tandem. And right now, I just don't think it's good enough. Yanis, what are your thoughts about the second friendly and our discussion about the centre backs?
By the way, David, how are you feeling?
I'm very tired, mate, but I'm still here. I'm hanging on. Thanks.
Good. I hope you've got a bottle of Metaxa brandy by your bed.
No, not just Lucozade at the moment.
Oh, damn, I'm going to have to spice that up. the defence. Oh God. I mean, the word bollocks springs to mind again. It was a good fight back against Hertha Berlin. I'm going to give the lads credit. We're two down.
Right.
I'm not so sure, but the penalty was a little bit chintzy, but that's fine. We've done well to come back. The triple substitution made a difference. But please, oh, please, oh, please. It's been 2.5 months since the end of the season. Have we not figured out we need centre backs? Did the 46 games of mayhem last year not teach us anything? We desperately need upgrade in that position, because in the other areas, I think we look pretty good right now, and we've got some strength and depth. But in the middle, Bettinelli needs help, and we're not going to go forward with the boys we have right now. So for us to win a lot of games this year, we have to keep clean sheets. And last year, we got cruelly exposed. So I hope that there's something in the pipeline before the Cardiff game. But I'll be rather annoyed if there isn't, if we haven't picked anyone up. I'm not sold on our central back two. We need a massive upgrade at the moment. So, a draw is a draw. And let's not forget, Russ, these preseason games are a bit of a laugher anyway. It's just to get match fitness.
Right.
I mean, you can win 5-0 and nobody gives a toss. And you can lose 5-0 and it's like, well, you know, okay, fair enough. But just looking at the lineup we've got now, we have players missing, but that central twosome's really... It still worries me. And so I'm sure that the powers that be hopefully are looking at that and they've got some targets in place.
Listen, based on what I've been reading, I think that they do. The question is, can they get a deal done? And that's going to lead me to start our transfer speculation talk. We're going to do this on a limited basis just because we have several subjects to get through. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. According to several reports this week, Fulham had a £4 million bid rejected by Brighton Hove Albion for their center back, Lewis Dunk. We've been talking a great deal about Lewis Dunk. What are your thoughts about this? Do you think Fulham should continue to try to make this happen or move on?
Well, I mean, we're just talking about the center backs. And I don't think there's any Fulham fan who can... If you take Bodaroff, Byrne and Hutchinson, none of us can agree that one of them is any good for a start. Or, you know, like if I say Burns good, someone will say he's rubbish. If someone says
right,
we can't agree that there's one outstanding centre back out of the three main centre backs that we had. So it's clear we need at least one. And I'm actually coming around to the conclusion that we probably need two. And we would then, you know, offload one or two of the other guys. But that Dunk is the number one choice, and this has been dragging on for must be a month now. And I think it's got to a point where to either pay the 5 million allegedly that they want, but whatever happens, we need back in Bayer. That's my sort of target. Because then he's got a couple of days with the squad, game on Saturday, and then a week leading up to Cardiff. So I'd be very disappointed if we don't have anyone in. I know Mike Rigg is driving around the country trying to sort out a centre back, having briefly spoken to him at the under 21 game. And, you know, they are looking for the centre backs. They're being very, you know, they're not panicking, but,
right.
You know, the fans are the ones who are panicking. But Yanis is quite right. So we can't go into the season. We need someone else. We get away with it maybe for a game or two, but that two then drags into four or five, and then it's transfer deadline day. So we need to get someone in quickly. And if you're not going to get done, you move to the second player, and then the third player, and the fourth player, and all the other
right. Ones. Right. It's an interesting situation. You and I have heard things the last few days about this. You know, again, there's speculation out there, and I've been reading everything about the situation with Lewis Dunk. But at some point, either you make it happen or you got to move on. Like you said, if they truly want 5 million, you want the player bad enough, then you have to go up there. If not, I feel that you need to move on. They need center backs, and I don't want it to be waiting to the last minute. Like you said, Mike, that to me, I think, would be a mistake, and I do know that Mike Rigg and his team, they're working hard at it, but at some point, you know, they kind of have to make it happen because the season's about to start. David, I want to get your thoughts about this whole Lewis Dunk situation. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, did you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to come back actually and say the reason I've gone, my head's gone around to getting two centre backs is, who's to say we might have three centre backs there who none of us really like a combination of two of them. So that's why I'm looking.
Okay.
Yeah, we need one, but we need two really looking at it.
I've been saying that too, Mike. You know, again, I always say one, but possibly two. I'm leaning towards your thoughts on this. I think we need two. David, what are your thoughts about all this?
Well, this Dunk thing's been going on for a long time. I mean, I'm just looking back at my texts, and I had a text on the 9th of June saying that we had made an offer for him, so it really has been dragging on. But it's been interesting that he hasn't figured for Brighton in a couple of their games recently, so you'd like to think that maybe that is, you know, they're keeping him out of the limelight because he's not committed to them at the moment, so there is a chance that the move's going to take place. And I guess if they think that he doesn't want to stay or he's unsettled, perhaps they'll be, you know, more inclined to let him go for slightly less than they would have hoped for. So yeah, you know, that's one thing. And then I guess we need to rely on the fact that he's worth the money and he's the guy that we're looking for. And then can he play with one of the existing three? Will he make them right. a better player as well by playing alongside them? Or do we, as you know, as we just said, do we need to go out and get someone else still? And it's getting very late in the day to buy a centre defensive partnership that you can just throw in blind who are going to start, you know, hit the ground running from day one. You know, these things take time to build. You know, obviously, you know, look at the last great one we had, Hanglin and Hughes. It took a bit of time to get going, and once he did, it was great. But, you know, we had a shaky spell still when Roy took over until things started to gel a little bit. So, you know, it's not just going out and buying two centre-backs doesn't necessarily solve the problem, even if they are both good players in their own right. So we certainly need to get one in, most certainly, and then work out if he can play with one of our existing players, if they can form a partnership or not.
Listen, it's a very good point. And just to clarify, and Mike just messaged, I did know this, so I was going to mention this as well, that I heard an interview with Chris Hughton when he mentioned that that Lewis Dunk had been injured, and that's the reason why he has not featured for Brighton and Hove Albion lately. So he should be in their next friendly match. But again, it's a very interesting situation and a good discussion piece. And Yanis, I'm going to go to you because David brought up a good point. If you bring in one center back, you know, do you buy one to see if you can find a partnership, or do you bring in two? What are your thoughts about this whole thing? And also, do you just move on from Dunk, or do you keep on pursuing it?
Well, I think Mike absolutely nailed it. If all of us can't agree on one of the center backs or even vaguely competent, what the hell are they doing there in the first place? I mean, if we're looking at one, we're probably looking at two, and I'd even say three, because I don't think that amongst any of the fans, the combination of each of these three inspires any confidence. So you might want to cut your losses and get rid of all three and see if you can pick up two or three just to add a bit of depth. In terms of the Lewis Dunk thing, he's a good player. He is injured at the moment. If we want him badly enough, we should just, you know, shut up, get, you know, sign the check for $5 million, get him. And if it seems like Brighton are just holding us over the coals, then just go to plan B. But obviously, we've made it abundantly clear we want him. But even if we get him, we're still a centre-back short. We still need more quality. It's not there.
Right.
So I'm hoping that I'm hoping there's a second centre-back out there and that we don't have to wait till 20 minutes to 12 on the transfer deadline day to get him. And that's the thing. That's what stupefies me. Why do so many signings go through so late on that last day? We need him. We need these players for the Cardiff game. It's going to be a tough game.
You know, totally.
New players. Yeah, it's a difficult place to play. And I don't want us going down there and, you know, losing 3-2 or 4-3. I want us to keep clean sheets. So, you know, let's hope the powers that be are listening to this. And that. And what I'll do next, I'm actually meeting Sarah next Thursday in London. Sorry, David. So I'm going to... I'm going to pass on the message and say, Sarah, I'm sure you use your persuasive skills to get to the powers that be and say, oi, let's start signing some quietly here.
Okay, well, Yanis, please do me a favor and say hello to Sarah for me. That's number one.
And
yeah, that's great. You know, I've met Sarah. She's great. And please do say hello to me. For me. All right, guys, let's move on. I'm going to skip over one topic just for time's sake, but we definitely have to talk about this. Roger Lewis already messaged me. He wanted to make sure we were going to talk about this. So, Mike, I'm going to go right to you because, again, I definitely have to talk about this speculation. I saw this the other day and got me a little nervous. According to Dan Crawford and HammyN.com, the C-team, we'll just call them the C-team, have tabled a £2.5 million bid for Marcus Bettinelli, and the info comes from the Times. Mike, what are your thoughts about this speculation with Betts?
Yeah, it first appeared off again. And yes, there's been a lot of discussion. It's brought up the issue of stockpiling players at these clubs. And in all honesty, I think if somebody reads Chris's article on HammyEnd, it wouldn't be a case of him moving to a club any games, because that's not what Chelsea do. They buy players, loan them on. I'm always going to say I'm sorry. And, he's got 1 year left on his serious situation. You know, what do? If you've got a player who won't sign a contract, then you have really. I don't see any other option. I mean, his dad works at the club, he's a coach, he's been there a long time, so it can do to stay. But it's very disappointing. I think the fee is probably fair given his, you know, experience and his position, but very disappointing if we do lose him.
Mike, I'll be very disappointed if it does come to that, and Fulham should do everything that they can to hold on to him. But here's the issue, and we've talked about this, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the Cars Talk Controversy Roundtable. it is about these youngsters. And again, I'm going to throw Bettinelli in that category, that are on the final year of their deal. And this is going to happen when you're in the final year. And Fulham have left themselves exposed with Bettinelli, with Dembele, with Hyman. They've left themselves exposed, and it could become a problem. And I'm not happy about that, because I want Marcus Bettinelli to be playing with Fulham next season. But this doesn't surprise me that a team is coming in for him. And I'm glad, Mike, I'm glad that you mentioned the great article by Chris Gilbertson on hamian.com. If you haven't read it, please do. He talks about stockpiling, and he has a wonderful take on that, because it's not about getting Bettinelli to play with the C team this season. It's about in the future, and possibly using it in the chip for you know, as a business move down the road. This is what they do. They stockpile players. So this shouldn't be a shock. It's just, again, Fulham have themselves a really difficult spot right now, and they need to handle it. They need to, you know, either he's got to sign a new deal, or they could lose him, and that's an issue. And I think it's a huge issue for the club. Giannis, before I go to David, what are your thoughts about this whole speculation?
Oh, it's very disappointing. The first thing, it's the last year of the contract. What efforts are being made to see if we can sign him to extension? Number one. And number two, I'm not so sure 2.5 million is necessarily high enough. I'd go 3, maybe a little bit more. But it would be another example of us losing talent. I'm still annoyed about the Patrick Roberts leaving. Because I felt that, you know, he's probably thought, well, why should I sit on the bench with a championship club and get no playing time, and then have the chance to earn more money and still sit on the bench? You know, he was underutilized last year. Bettinelli, I'm just loath to lose young players. I really am. And I hope we can do something. But I think time's going to tell. The last year of the contract's difficult, so I'm hoping that the powers that be are working on new contracts, because I think we need to keep him. He's a young keeper, and I thought he had a very good season last year. And he's developing well enough, and he's above all, he's playing, as opposed to playing probably for the reserves for the C team. And I don't think he really wants that. So we shall see. But it is a disappointing development for sure.
Yeah, listen, it's a very interesting situation. I would like to think that he would stay. Like Mike said, his father works for the club. You would think that he would stay, but again, if the article is true and they've tabled an offer, then it becomes a situation that Fulham need to handle. And I'm sure they've been talking to these players, and I'm going to be playing a little bit later the Mike Rigg interview, and he talks about in the interview, you can't force someone, I'm paraphrasing, you can't force someone to sign a contract. So again, that's a factor here as well. But hopefully, you know, again, they can get some of these youngsters signed, because going in the final year of their deal, this is what can happen. David, what are your thoughts about the situation with Marcus Bettinelli?
Well, I think if it was going to happen, I'd want more money for it, because that doesn't seem much compensation for, you know, a vital position in the team. But I hope it's just, you know, idle speculation, really, because I wouldn't see much of incentive at the moment for Bettinelli from being someone who is, you know, first choice, or probably first choice in a championship team, to being, you know, third choice in a Premier League team. You know, no chance of game time unless he really goes out on loan. So I don't see the motivation for Bettinelli. So for me, I hope it's just a load of rubbish.
I hope you're right, David. I really do, because, you know, again, that's what it is. It's speculation, but it just makes you think about the possibilities, because we all know the situation of his contract along with these other players. And it makes me nervous. I you know, again, Fulham trying to build a team. You don't want to see a key player leave. And even the thought of it really just unsettled me. And I can imagine what it could possibly do for other fans. And of course, Marcus Bettinelli himself, hopefully, like I said, I hope he stays. And I hope it's just, like you said, David, rubbish. All right, let's move on. Let's go to a section I call the Crash Talk Q&A with a co-host. And we have some interesting topics. And just for time's sake, I'm going to go each one of you, give you one just so we can go through it. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. And this is from someone that contacts us, a great deal, Roger Lewis. I mentioned to you this a little bit earlier. And here's his question. I don't like low knees unless they are an injury crisis. However, I would agree to one if there was an option to purchase. The club have stated they only want players who want to play for Fulham first and can be honed into the Fulham way. The possible loan signing, and of course it already happened, of Luke Garbutt is against all this. What are the co-host opinions? So, Mike, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts about this?
Friday time, can you hear me? If they're always going to have an option to buy one of our players. the loan system's there to be used, and we've used it a lot over as long as I. We'd like a team of all the youngsters, wouldn't we? That's a big discussion at the moment, and I know it's a question you might ask later, but in the end, if these players help us get promotion, and that's what we've got to look at, I think it's a different question.
Okay.
Stop getting relegated, but we're looking to get promotion. And then when you get promotion, you then look at the squad again. So at this moment in this championship, to get promotion, if we need to loan players, I'm more than happy to do that than the players we already have. Now, yes, I don't like Richards, and he stopped Grimmer playing last year for whatever reason. So, you're not always going to like him, but they're an option, and I'm always fairly happy to take the players on.
Okay, very good there, Mike. Okay. Mike, we're having a little bit of a hard time with your connection. Could you dial back in and hopefully come in a little bit clearer? I think I appreciate that, Mike. I just sent you a message on that. And after we go through the Q&A, we are going to be talking about the starting 11 because it is out for the match against Frankfurt. And David, I'm gonna go over to you now. Like I said, I just want to go through some of these Q&A questions. And Luke Aitken asked this one. This is a very interesting one. Can Mitroglou get and keep a spot in the starting 11 without making other strikers like Smith and Woodrow unhappy? Now, again, he is in Frankfurt. What are your thoughts about this? I'm Frankfurt. Well, he's in Austria. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, he is, but he's not anywhere near the team or the subs bench again today. So not sure what his role is. I still think we are trying to offload him. It'll become an interesting scenario if we don't. Could be the Brian Ruiz of the season, that he might end up there and Kit may therefore feel obliged to play him. But it's going to be difficult because, we've seen that Smith obviously seems to work well with McCormack. And then apart from that, it's hard to sort of decide who should be in the team. So it's going to be a real gamble to reintegrate Mitroglou into the team if that happens. So I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I think they're just kind of going through the motions with him, keeping him fit in the hope that someone comes along and takes him off our hands.
Okay, very, very interesting take. And I'm glad that you mentioned this, David, because I'm now looking at the starting 11 for the friendly today and then the bench, and he's not on there. So very good point by you. So I guess you could be right. We could just be getting him fit to get rid of him at some point. So I was hoping that maybe we'd see him on the bench, but David, he's not on the bench. Very good point by you. All right. Final Q&A question over to you, Yanis. This is from Simon Rugg. Yep. Will Fulham be less likely to buy from the Dutch league after Brian Ruiz's sale?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to get pilloried about this. Obviously, he's gone now, but there are some very good players over there. So no, because the Eredivisie is a decent standard. There's some good clubs over there. Brian Ruiz, to be fair to him, was scoring goals for fun at 20. And it's not like he didn't bring quality to the team. He just, at times, his style didn't seem to suit the speed and the physicality of the Premier League and the Championship. So, but I don't think there'd be any reason to, as a club, to look at it and say, well, Ruiz didn't quite pan out with all the money. Therefore, we shouldn't go back. I think that's wrong. There are some very good players there, and you just hope that you know, your scouts do the right thing and you know, make the appropriate decision. But I wouldn't close market on a lead just because in your, it's your perception that one player that you signed way back when didn't quite work out.
No, very good point there, Giannis. You know, again, if the talent's there, they shouldn't let the Brian Ruiz situation, how it worked out, affect them. You know, if there's a player they want in the Dutch league, go get them. I agree with that philosophy there, Giannis. All right, guys, we do have the starting 11 and the bench for Fulham, so I want to get your thoughts on it. And, Mike, I'll start with you, but I'm just going to read it out so everyone can hear it. Here is the starting 11. It would be Indy Larnigan as your goalkeeper, Jazz Richards, Sean Hutchinson, Dan Byrne, Sean Kavanagh as your back four. Then you have LVC, Jamie O'Hara, Tom Kearney, Ross McCormack, Ben Pringle, and then, of course, Mr. Smith will be up front, Mr. Matt Smith. And the substitute bench would be Marcus Bettinelli, Nikolai Bodorov, Alex Kacheniklic, Vozer, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Moussa Dembele. Mike, what do you make of the starting 11 and the bench for this friendly against Frankfurt today? Can you hear me, Mike? Okay, it looks like we're having problems with Mike's connection. Mike, dial back in. I'm not hearing you for whatever reason. David, what are your thoughts about the starting 11 and the bench against Frankfurt?
I think we're getting somewhere closer to what we expect to see probably in the league in a couple of weeks' time. I think probably you would expect to see Bettinelli there, not Lonergan, as in the starting position. Garber, I expect at left back. One or both of those centre halves not there, but maybe otherwise, the front six, maybe to be like that, I think, something like that. And I assume from this is a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1 with McCormack up front with Smith or just sitting behind, and the midfield, Christensen, O'Hara, Kearney, and Pringle. So something like this. I don't think we're too far away. So say certainly Bettinelli, not Lonergan, I would imagine. Garbutt, not Kavanagh. And one or both centre-backs different. But otherwise, I think we're getting somewhere close to our starting 11. And it looks more and more that Kit's going to stick with his 4-4-2 after we've all been saying it's going to be a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1 this year.
I have an interesting thought on that, and I'll be sharing that after I talk to my friend Giannis. Giannis, what are your thoughts about the starting 11 and the bench against Frankfurt?
Well, two things stand out. Our midfield looks very, very strong. I do like it. That excites me. You've got the new signings in there. You've got McCormack playing in front of that midfield four, and you've got Smith. You've got a lot of goals there. You've got a lot of creativity. You've got a lot of hard work. But that back four scares me. It really does. I'm going to go on a thing. Jazz Richards. I'm just scratching my head at this one. I don't know why we signed him. I wouldn't have had him 1,000 nautical miles away from the cottage after last year. Kavanagh left back, I'm pleased with. Garber and David's right. Garber's probably going to come in. Lonergan's going to go for Bettinelli. But it's that central twosome and the right back I'm not convinced about. Because as hard-working as our midfield is, and as creative as it's going to be, the ball is going to get behind the line. And that lot scare me, frankly. They scare me. Three of that four, I wouldn't start. Kavanagh, I would start. And Kavanagh won't even be starting against Cardiff. And that right there is a worry. I just... you know, I would start Grimmer right back. I'm still gonna ride that horse. I'm the central two, or we've discussed this, the four of us, and it just doesn't inspire any confidence. You know, so as a coach, I'll tell you, I'd rather win a game 1-0 than 4-3 or 5-4, and I think we can score a lot of goals, but at the back. Anyways, we'll see what happens. I mean, is this our starting lineup in 2 weeks, with the exception of Garbutt and? And I think it may well be, but if it is, I'm a little worried. Not in terms of our midfield and attacking prowess, but defensively how we look.
Okay, very good point there, Giannis. Mike, over to you. Again, thank you for dialing back in. We're just having some technical difficulties. What are your thoughts on the starting 11 and the bench against Frankfurt?
Can you hear me now, Russ?
I can hear you now, Mike.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Yeah, starting 11. I mean, I think it's, if there was a league game, maybe Bettinelli would start in goal and Garber would be at left back. But I think that's the team he would put out if we were playing Cardiff today. And everyone knows my views on playing Smith from the start of games. So I think we're going to see plenty of diagonal long balls from Hutchinson to the far left of the pitch where Smith will be to nod it down. I mean, I like the midfield. Joking aside, the midfield's got a lot of runners in it now and a lot of energy. And, McCormick's going to be there. I suspect he's going to drop a little bit. So it could be like 4-2-3-1, but it looks a traditional 4-4-2 almost. But Kearney, LVC, they'll probably swap over a bit. But yeah, you look at the back four. I mean, out of that back four, the only one I would pick really would be Byrne. And so, yeah, it's the same issues, isn't it? You know, it's how are they going to defend as a unit? What kind of cover are they going to get from midfield? It's a good test today, if you like.
This is a good team.
They're a good team. It's a good test to see if Kit is doing what he said he is doing, which is working with the team, a system of play, and is he organising that back four? Because all those four players played last year, and we need to see, have they improved as a unit? Probably not individually, but as a unit, are they defending better? And if they don't, if we're just seeing the same errors again and again, then the question mark is over the players, and the question mark has to be over the coaches who are doing the defensive duties. But yeah, that's as close as the starting 11 as he can probably do. I'm not surprised Mitch Glue's not on the bench. You know, he's only been training since Monday, I think. So I'm not surprised he's not getting a run out. And you can look at the bench and you can see he's going to play a lot of that team for the whole 90 minutes as well.
Right.
It's going to be a good test.
Mike, I got a question for you, and I want to get Giannis's thoughts on this as well, and David too. We've been playing a traditional 4-4-2 basically, and I'm used to this in other sports. In preseason, you don't really show your cards. You play a system that, again, you don't want the opposition. You don't want Cardiff and teams coming up to see exactly what you're going to be doing. Is there a possibility that we might still see 4-3-3? Once the season begins, or do you think this might be it? Do you think Kit might be just saying this is going to be our main formation, or do you think maybe this is, you know, kind of keeping it a little bit of a secret? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I said it looks a traditional 4-4-2, but it does slightly change when Crawley, O'Hara was deeper, and LVC was slightly advanced of him, and McCormick was a bit deeper, and like I say, it became a sort of it's a combination. It could be 4-2-3-1, 4-1-4-1,
right.
You know, it's that type of thing. Very flexible. But I always thought the way we were looking at all these midfielders and the players we have, I always wanted McCormick at the top. I want him on the centre-back shoulder causing problems. I don't want him coming deeper and picking the ball up.
I agree with you.
But, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying there, and there's always a chance that they're working on different patterns. But I think Kit is old-fashioned in a certain way, you know, is that this is what he's putting the team out to do, and I don't think he's going to be playing any tricks. So I think what we're going to see is the system today is the system they take forward.
Okay, very interesting take there, Mike. And again, it's just something I've been thinking about, so I was curious what you guys thought about that. Giannis, what do you think about my theory? Again, I could be completely wrong, and Mike could be completely right, that Kit is a traditional guy. He's going to be playing what he's been playing. But I've known this from other sports and other teams that what you see in preseason is not what you see once the season begins. So what are your thoughts on this?
No, I think the system you're going to see today against Eintracht is going to be the system he's going to play against Cardiff City.
Okay.
He doesn't want to confuse the players. You know, the way that I look at it as a coach is it's one more game practicing the formation you want to enter the season anyway. So don't change things up. Keep it nice and consistent. And I think the lineup is reflective of that because it's, well, more or less the you know, strongest lineup with it, maybe the exception of two players. So the scouts will be there from Cardiff. That's fine. And that's okay. I mean, I don't think Chip, if he has a lot of confidence in himself, will be worried about the Cardiff scouts taking things away. They've still got 2 weeks of practice to fine-tune some things and maybe adjust a couple of things. But the formation we see today and the style, I think, should be symptomatic of what we're going to see down in Cardiff in 2 weeks' time.
Sorry about that, Giannis. You know, again, I've been blinded by Bill Belichick, so that's where that's coming from. If you understand that.
I certainly do.
What? Okay, fantastic. David, what are your thoughts about this? Again, because Mike and you have talked a great deal that you thought that possibly we would be playing that 4-3-3 or that can go into, you know, like a 4-5-1. Do you think that the 4-4-2 is going to be the way that kick goes? To Mike's and what Giannis has been saying, keep practicing the same formation going up to the opening match.
Yeah, I've got to agree with both of them. I don't think Kit is that devious, or I think it'd be very risky to play a whole one system in pre-season and then at the last minute suddenly change it round. You know, it's a very dangerous precedent to set, really. I think he's gearing them up for how they're going to be in the season. So I think the you know, as Mike touched on, although it's a 4-4-2, sort of generally, there is some fluidity in the team. People can change positions in the match, and you know it can adapt during the game. You know, especially if McCormack is dropping short, that kind of changes the perspective of it sometimes. And other people like LVC can change over with Kearney, so there is the possibility that you know the system can evolve during a game. But I think in the main, no, that's. You know, that's how it's going to be, the 4-4-2 kind of situation.
Okay, very good. And again, that's why I wanted to ask it. You know, again, I follow another team and they don't show you anything during the preseason. It's a completely different sport, I know. So I was just thinking, because we've been talking so much about the possibilities of what we think that he should be doing. Maybe he was going to be, you know, being not devious, but being a little secretive here. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he's just being consistent and getting his team ready to play and confident that they could play whatever system he wants them to play, which we all think right now looks like a 4-4-2. But, you know, again, I just wanted to throw out to you guys, and it's fine, your opinion on that. All right. Just for time's sake, we are going to cut down some of the things we're doing because I do want to play the 9-minute Mike Rigg interview at the very end. The reason why I want to play it is Sam Green was very nice enough to take time from his day in Austria. He's with the club and he actually sent this to me, and I find it a very interesting interview. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to play it and get your thoughts on that. But so I'm only going to ask you one Cottage Talk controversy roundtable question, guys. And it's actually going to be the one that Mike, you actually mentioned, and you tweeted this out. So here is the question, and I'll start with you. Would you sacrifice the sale of youngsters if it led to promotion at the end of the season? Mike, you asked the question on Twitter. What do you think?
That's not fair. You know, you ask a question, don't you, to give the answer?
Okay, fine. Then I'll give it a yes.
What I say is I probably had about 15 replies and about two or three said, keep the youngsters. So, you know, promotion is important, and what I was trying to find out really was, you know, lots of people talking about Bettinelli and being loyal to the club, and we should. And it was just a case of, well, would you take the money if I could say to you, we sell all these youngsters who only have a year left on their contract, but I can guarantee you we get promotion. And the vast majority said, yeah, fine, because that's what people want in the end, isn't it? They want the team, the club, to get promotion. Players come and go, managers come and go. And in the end, if you turn around, I mean, I'm upset that Roberts left. As you know, I wanted a midfield of Roberts, Williams, LVC, Heidman in the Premier League in 2 seasons. Not going to happen. And so do you just want to watch a team with the youngsters in bobbing around in the Championship? Or can I guarantee you promotion? So that's all the question was. Would right. I do it? I probably would. If you said to me, yeah, sell Hyman, sell Bettinelli, everyone else, I can guarantee you're going to get promotion at the end of the year. I'll probably take it.
Okay. And sorry, Mike, that I started with you, but it was your question. So I thought I might as well start with you.
Fine.
Okay. Giannis, what are your thoughts about this? Would you sacrifice the sale of the youngsters if it led to promotion this season?
It depends how many youngsters, Russ. I wouldn't want to sell the shop, that's for sure. We need to be able to speak. I mean, remember what Shahid Khan said at the start. He was talking about sustainability. And sustainability, more often than not, is going to involve looking at the infrastructure of the club and the players that you've got. And you've got to have a balance between youth and experience. So to answer your question, I would, but not too many players. And the Roberts thing, I'm going to moan and bitch about. I'm still upset he's gone, but it's done. We've got to move on. But I don't want to get too many players gone just to find our way to the gravy train. And that's the thing that bothers me. You know, all the talk about the Sky contract is all about the amount of money. There's teams like Barcelona and Real Madrid are beginning to cry foul now because they're saying we're desperate not to lose our players to the Premier League. It's all become the money.
And, yeah, it's all about the money, Giannis. Totally, money. I agree with you.
And that's what's sad. I think you know we're a small club. We know our limitations. And if Shahid Khan is deadly serious about the need for sustainability, then if we're going to sell youngsters, there won't be many of them that go. And Roberts, we've got a good price for. So I'm hoping the money that we got there, and maybe one or two others, will give us the money that we can actually reinvest in the club and in terms of bringing the right players that are going to help us towards promotion.
No, very good, Giannis. And listen, after I play the Mike Rigg interview, one of the things that I want to get your thoughts on, he does talk about financial fair play. I think financial fair play is part of their long-term strategy. Let me just say that. I definitely think it's part of what's going on, and Giannis just dropped. But I want to mention that again. When I play the interview, he does mention a great deal about financial fair play. And I actually think that's a positive because I think moving forward, this is something that I've been thinking about, that I think the championship in itself is going to be very competitive from top to bottom because of financial fair play. I don't think that I think it's going to be tougher for you to buy your way out. I think you're going to have to figure out other ways to get out of the championship. I think the league is going to be extremely even moving forward. I could be wrong, but I do think that financial fair play is already playing a role and will continue to. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But when you get to the Barclays Premier League, it's at a different level. But for us in the championship, they have to consider the situation with financial fair play. All right, David, before you go, what are your thoughts about this?
If I wasn't so tired, I'd love to construct a great counter argument to it to say, yes, we have to keep the youngsters. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna take the easy option out and say, no, I think promotion is what we need, really. And if it comes at a price, then it comes at a price. And in regarding the FFP, I think Middlesbrough have decided they look like they're going to break ranks and going to spend big to get out this season. Because I think I might be right in thinking that if you spend big but get promoted, then you get away with the FFP rules, or you get away with them a bit more than if you don't, obviously. So there is that kind of all or nothing gamble you can take, I suppose, where you could spend a lot of money to try and get out of the division. And if you're successful, you can get away with things. But obviously, if you're not, then you're up the creek without a paddle. So selling our youngsters isn't going to ever raise that much money, I think, not if we're going to buy our way out of the division. We're not going to get big fees. I mean, Roberts, we got a reasonable fee for, but I doubt we'd get a fee like that for any of the other youngsters. So selling them isn't really going to pay for promotion. So it's not, I know that's not what the question said originally, but I think obviously promotion is what we want. We all crave that kind of getting back to where we were. We do miss being in the Premier League. I think it can't be at all costs. It's terrible the way that things are going with money, and how money is just dominating. And it does leave a nasty taste in your mouth, to be honest with you, a little bit. So in some ways, in some ways, I'd rather do things the proper way. And if it meant staying in the Championship, doing things the right way, then I would almost feel happy with it.
Listen, David, excellent take there. Because again, I'm glad that you brought up the situation with Middlesbrough, because they are pretty much breaking rank from the financial fair play situation. They are spending, you know, again, bringing in Downing is a huge, you know, is a huge player and a huge amount of money that they're definitely spending on, and they are going big. They're trying to get promoted. I understand that. But I agree with you. I do think that Fulham have a plan, a strategy that does involve the situation with financial fair play. I'd rather do it that way because I think it could lead to more of a, I guess you could say, a better long-term future. I want them to have a strong business structure. And I think doing it the way that Middlesbrough are probably attempting to do it, I think it could backfire on them, like you said. But they're going for it, fine, let them go for it. But if it doesn't work, I think they're going to be hurting. And that is going to be what financial fair play can do to you. So I would rather Fulham play within these guidelines and get up that way than spend big. That's just me. I would rather them try to do it in a very, you know, again, a very business-wise approach that involves all levels of the club. And again, Mike Rigg talks about this, the academy, spending on the right players, the right types of players that want to be at Fulham long-term, and a long-term vision. That's what I feel Fulham are heading in. I think they're heading into this long-term vision, and I think it begins this season. All right, David, I am going to let you go. Before you go, I want to thank you for joining us today. I know, you know, again, you know, you're very tired. So, again, thank you so much for coming on and spending the hour with us.
Well, thanks, Russ, and thanks to Mike and Yanis. And, yeah, I hope to be back soon. Not sure if next week is too soon, but I'll let you know depending how the op goes.
Yes, and thoughts and prayers are with you, my friend. I'll be thinking about you every day. And just take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, David, and we will be talking to you soon. I know we'll be talking to you soon.
Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Cheers, David. Be good, mate.
Cheers, David. Okay. That was our Cottage Talk co-host, David Holly. And, you know, he's dealing with a very serious situation. He has his third and final surgery this week. And, I just want to wish him the best. I care about David, and I believe, you know, very strongly we'll be talking to him very soon. But my thoughts are with him and his family during this tough period. And but David, if you're listening back to the show, I'm thinking of you, my friend. All right, guys. What I'd like to do, again, I mentioned this, I want to play the Mike Rigg interview. If you guys can stick around, that'd be great. If you can't, if you got to go, that's fine. But I do definitely want to play the Mike Rigg interview. Mike Rigg, can you stick around to talk about it afterwards?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And is it Darren Brent or is it Yanis Shinaeus? Can you stick around?
Well, let's make it Darren Brent for the next few minutes because I could do with a laugh. Absolutely, I'll be here.
Okay, fantastic. Because I want to get both of you, I want to get your view of this interview, which I found fascinating, so we could talk about it to end the show. All right. And again, major thank you to Sam Green, who is with the club right now in Austria, and he took it out of his busy day to send this to me. And I really appreciate it, Sam, if you're listening into the show. Sam's a great guy, and he sends me all the audio clips. So thank you so much for doing this. And without further ado, this is the interview with Mike Rigg and Sarah Brooks.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning.
Wanted to have a chat with you because obviously we spoke in the group a little while ago. And one of the things that we didn't discuss was your view of the academy, because obviously you're in charge of everything to do with the football side of the business. So I just wanted to talk to you about your thoughts on the young players coming through, the way that the academy is at the moment, and how you see things in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting you say in charge of everything. I'd like to try and phrase it as helping to try and manage or supporting everybody in the football department. I mean, it's I think I'm very privileged to be given an opportunity like this, because it's something that not a lot of football clubs in this country do. So my role is to spent a lot of time with Hugh, the academy manager, with the supporting kit, the first team, Mark Taylor with performance services, you know, all our scout recruitment. So rather than actually taking charge and trying to control everything, I think it's just trying to, I would say probably pull a strategy together which links it all together, which obviously the academy is a big part of.
So when it comes to transfers, when it comes to being responsible for bringing players in, which you are, along with Alistair, and work very closely as a team doing that, there are a number of young players obviously that are coming to the end of their contract that may not have played as many games because of everything that we've talked about in terms of their own progression. How do you keep those players happy? How do you keep those players, one, playing football, because that's all a young player wants to do, and two, to get them to be part of that philosophy going forward?
Right. Players are always happy by two things, and sometimes it's both, sometimes it's one or the other. The contract they've got and what they earn, and the cynical side of me says that is the case, but it's not, thankfully, it's not something I come across too often. And the second side of it, which the vast majority of footballers do partake, is the, are they playing football? We can only play 11 players, and keeping everybody happy as a squad is a real, is a real challenge, and that's at every age group. We're really fortunate that we've got owners and we've got a club that aren't forcing us to sell players. You know, there's been a big investment in the club, and we don't want to sell any players. And we've realised that the lifeline of an important lifeline of this club is not just the players that we bring in. You know, what we've done this summer, bringing in to give us an immediate impact in the first team, but how we bring young players through into the first team. It's always a challenge because players come to the end of the contract and now are advised by family members, they're advised by agents, they're advised by clubs, the heads are being turned because there's big lucrative deals being thrown their way. They can leave on compensation, there's no transfer fees, you know, up to a certain age. Even if a young player is out of contract and is not a Bosman, there's still a compensation, but it's minimal.
And presumably on players with shorter contracts, they see other players coming into the squad, other players being signed. So they see their chances of featuring dwindling.
Yeah, so part of, and that's the case, but and we understand that. And it's our job to work with players to show them what their pathway is. And part of that pathway is, right, we're going to send you out on loan for 6 months. And, you know, George Williams is a great example. You know, sadly went out with NK Dons, picked up an injury, you know, in virtually, you know, the first few minutes of his experience. But that was part of a development plan where he was going into League One, getting game time, getting the experience of being another place with a view to bringing him back. And it's the same discussion that we'll have with several of our, you know, current crop of players now, that, you know, the route for you into the first team's not here now, but we don't want you to leave. We want you to sign new contracts. We want you to be here for the duration because we realise what you can offer in the first team in the, you know, when we're back into the Premier League. But in order to get there, it's not, you know, you've gone past the under-21s football now. It's now time for an opportunity for you to go and have a loan experience, be it in this country or even abroad. And that managed properly. But ultimately, you can't force players to sign a contract. We're in a really, I'd call it cynical, and it, maybe it is, where the advice that players are being given is they've got riches elsewhere and there's a path of gold somewhere else for them to go in.
And especially when they see their names linked in papers and people talking about them constantly. There are a lot of our players, younger players, whose names have been linked with a lot of very big clubs, and that has to have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite frankly, some of the players are just not ready for our first team now. You know, they're not ready for the first team in this league, and they're not ready for the first team in this league to get back into the Premier League. And they're also not ready to play week in, week out. So then trying to explain to a young player, you might be a bit part player and part of the experience is being in and around the squad, going out on loan, coming back. A young player, absolutely, if he's not motivated by money and he's motivated by football, it's very difficult to them to see that, well, where's my pathway? Because I might only play one in six games. So there's a real, if we look at Kit, there's a real dilemma. He's got to go out and win games, but we've also got to develop players. And that's what our club, you know, is about. So we don't want players to leave. We want them to sign new contracts. The ones that we don't want to sign new contracts are the ones we want to try and help get a career elsewhere. You know, we've just signed Steve Arthur on, you know, on a new contract, and we're sending him out to Yeovil on loan. That's a great opportunity for him to go and get first team football and cut his teeth, you know, at the real coal face, which is great, and he'll be better for it. with a view to then, if he steps up to the gate, bring him back in. You know, delighted he signed a contract. You know, and he's committed his future here to longer at the club. We want the other players to do the same. But ultimately, you can't force them to sign a contract. And if, in some respects, part of my job is to work with Alistair and the business. I can't just think about football. Because each one of these players, and I hate talking this way, but it is the way of the industry of football, they're assets. And with the challenges of financial fair play, we either let these assets run down and leave for nothing, which we can do, but might not be in the best interest of the club and best interest of the player, or we can try and capitalise on them assets and reinvest whatever value we get back from the sales of them players back into the first team, albeit this summer. So if we sold a player for X amount of millions, that would then come back in to offset financial fair play. You know, Mr. Khan has done nothing but support everything we've wanted to do, certainly since I've been here. But it doesn't matter how much Mr. Khan invests, you know, capital inside the club, we'll be breaking financial fair play rules. And what we don't want to do is jeopardise the future of the football club if that doesn't pay off. So, you know, buying and selling, trading is part of it. And we don't want our young and our best players to go. But ultimately, if they don't want to be here, we can't force them. So let's try and reinvest whatever sales we get back into getting us back into the Premier League. Ultimately, if a player doesn't want to be here, then we've got to find a solution for them. First and foremost, we want a mentality inside this club that players want to fight for the cause for Fulham to get back to the Premier League. And if somebody doesn't want to be part of that, then they're outside of the system. They're not working on behalf of the club. We have to find a solution to get them out. And
presumably, the only way that you sell a player is if there is a buying club interested in buying the player.
Yes, and all buying clubs don't want to pay money. All buying clubs want to get away with as least as they possibly can. All selling clubs want to try and recoup as great a value on that asset as possible. And I hate talking in these terms in business, but it's really important in terms of how it works. We can't just go out and spend millions and millions on players and give them huge wages and transfer fees because we break financial fair play regulations. And ultimately, we've got responsibilities of, you know, of custodians of this club to safeguard the future of the club. So we have to go and find players that want to be here, that we think are of benefit to being here and getting us back to the Premier League and fit within our financial structures.
It sounds like a very tough thing to balance. And presumably you haven't had any time off, but are you still enjoying it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, how can you not enjoy working in football in an environment like this? This is a great building period for us, which I go back to the meeting that we're having on Friday with all the coaches. It's a succession planning meeting, so we have all the coaches in the room talking about what's our vision. Okay, from that vision, right, what's our philosophy? From that, what kind of players do we want to fit that philosophy? And ultimately, how are we going to coach them? And that sounds really simple, but bringing them all together and having the time to develop that in detail is really important. So as well as the transfer window activity, it's all the building work that we're putting behind the scenes and bringing everybody together, which is the exciting work that's going on.
Thank you for talking to us, and hopefully we'll catch up very soon.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, we are back, and that was an interview done this week with Mike Rigg, and Sarah Brooks, as always, does the interviews. I thought it was a great interview. It was a little over 9 minutes long. And I have some thoughts about the interview, but before I share my thoughts, Mike, I want to go to you. What did you make of this interview with Mike Rigg?
Well, initially, I think there was a bet on that he couldn't mention, if he mentioned Pat Roberts' name, then he would have had to put some money somewhere. But 9 minutes without mentioning his name was pretty good game. But to be honest, it was a good interview. And again, you've got to praise the club for, you know, these type of informational interviews they're giving. They're trying to explain to fans, generically what's going on, you know, the way things work. And, there's a few of us who know the finances and how all that works and contracts, but the vast majority just want to watch the team win and do its best. And it's good that we're beginning to learn who Mike is and the rest of the team at the club. So, yeah, a good interview. He laid it out. A lot of power is in the players' hands now if the contracts enter their last year. there are question marks, as you said earlier. You know, why have we allowed certain players, you know, to reach that last year? I've explained in the past why, but that still doesn't really answer the question. You know, there are a couple of you look back and go, you know, really they should have been offered, you know, contracts last year. And that's not to say they wasn't. It's just down to the player whether they want to sign or not. And
right,
you know, and in today's world, everyone wants everything now. So an 18-year-old, 17, 18, 19-year-old who's had a taste of league football and playing in front of, you know, 20,000 people each week, doesn't want to go back down to playing in front of 200 in the under-21s at Motspur Park. He wants to play somewhere else. He wants to play and get the buzz of the crowd. So it's very hard keeping these youngsters happy. And, you know, because they're in a rush to get to that first team. And, you know, they've got a very difficult job. But I do think sometimes the FFP, which I understand about, is over-egged a little bit.
Okay.
And with certain players, let's say Heidman, for example, I think you have to push the boat out. You have to say, you know, we're going to pay you X amount. It's above and beyond what we would usually pay. But we want you to stay at a club. You might not get that many games this year. But believe me, in the long term, it's going to be best for you. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to keep hold of certainly Heidman, Dembele and Bettinelli. And, do as much as we can. And paying them more is not going to break us over the line for FFP, that's for sure.
No, listen, Mike, I totally agree with you. I think that financial fair play is a part of, is factored into everything that they're doing. But if you're talking about the youngsters, I think that they can pay them a decent wage. I'm not saying that they don't already, but again, I think they can pay them above and beyond to show them that they want them here long term.
Exactly. That's what I think. I mean, you're investing in the long term future. So,
right.
You know, paying them 20K a week, for example, is a lot for an 18, 19 year old. But if you can get them to sign a 3 or 4 year contract, then we can relax a little bit and plan going forward with those guys.
Exactly. And that, you know, listen, I'm glad that Mike Rigg mentioned this. You know, Mike Rigg says in the interview that he can't force anyone to sign a contract. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically, you know, he's talking about this, and I certainly understand that. My only thought about this is something that you said. You know, again, I have no idea what they've been offered. I have no clue, but I just think that they need to offer them, you know, go a little bit above and beyond. And if the player really wants to leave, then the player will leave. But I just hope the club is doing everything that they can to hold on to these youngsters, because they've identified these players and we want them here long term. They want them there long term. And sometimes you got to pay a little bit more for that, Mike. That's why I'm glad that you brought up that point, because I'm totally with you on that. Forget about financial fair play for the youngsters. You got to pay a little bit more to hold on to them long term. You're making an investment in their future and Fulham's future. Okay, over to you, Giannis. What are your thoughts about the interview with Mike Rigg and also what we're talking about?
Well, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard an interview that Sarah Brooks has conducted that hasn't been first class, and this was another example. She asks great questions. In terms of his responses, it wasn't anything I don't think that we didn't know. I mean, in every club, you can have players that think that they're, you know, they're better than they think they are. They feel that they're underpaid. I mean, one of the things that has really stuck in my mind is the Raheem Sterling nonsense over Liverpool, which I think has been absolutely appalling. So the players, it's been dreadful. And the players that think they should get more money with the grass is greener on the other side. Patrick Roberts is going to find himself. I mean, right now he may be 3-4 years away from the first team at City. So that's a difficult one. And he's right. I mean, you want players in the end who are going to, you know, get on board, get on deck, and get their bodies mucky and grimy for what is a big grind to get back to the Premier League. And that's why I'll give him credit for a couple of signings. One of the signing that to me that he's made this summer that I think could be an absolute coup is Jamie O'Hara. I've always been a huge fan of him. Last year he was on an absolutely shockingly poor, dysfunctional team. And he played very, very well. And So obviously he knows his stuff. He's scouting, getting the right players. It looks like he's got plans in place, and providing, you know, Shahid Khan continues to be as supportive as he has been, I think it's going to be exciting moving forward. I think the challenge for Mike is going to be, I think, the transfer deadline, because the sustainability right. piece is going to come in again. You know, do you, you know, are you going to break the bank to get somebody in at the transfer deadline? And as you know, prices.
That's a great point. Yes.
And the other thing, of course, is the younger players and players that we should keep, players that we shouldn't. I'd like to think that Kit, after nearly a year, has got it figured out. But you know, sometimes you just never know. But I like what he had to say, and hopefully, you know, he's got more plans in action, and we all want us to get promoted. So fingers crossed that we hit the ground running in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, very interesting take there, Giannis. And, you know, I want to say this because, again, I've not met the man, Mike Gregg. You've met Mike Gregg. After everything that I've heard about him and seen him in these interviews, I do have confidence in him. I think he has a plan, a strategy. I liked the interview a great deal. I'm behind what he's trying to do. I understand what he's trying to do. I think it's a tough situation with some of these young players. And I think he's doing the best that he can. I want to stress that because I'm frustrated that we have not re-signed some of these young players, but I do understand the other side of it, that it takes two to make a deal. And if the players aren't willing to make a deal, I understand that. Again, we don't know. You know, we don't know what form of offer, but I understand how difficult it must be. You know, he's trying to make these deals happen. So hopefully some of these youngsters will be signing real soon. Guys, we only have a couple minutes left. Mike, I want to go back to you again because one thing that really stood out to me in this interview, and then we're going to have to wrap this up. I think Mike Riggs said about three or four different times this phrase, when we are back in the Premier League. Do you catch that?
Yes, and you know, it's a message which the club is very subtle about saying. I mean, he's dropped it in interviews a couple of times now. You've got the interview on the with Luke saying about promotion, and I've said all along their target is top six for this year, and they're going to try their best to do that, and that's what we're leading. So people who moan about Khan and various other people not wanting to get promotion, it's just rubbish. You know, the whole aim for this season is get promotion back to the Premier League.
Listen, yep. I totally agree with that. And the fact that Mike Rick kept mentioning it, and like you mentioned in the interview with Luke Garbutt, and, you know, again, I think the mentality is to get back to the Premier League, but they also have a long-term vision. And that's what excites me because I want Fulham to prosper for years to come. I think we all want that. But it's good to know in a subtle way that Fulham want promotion and they want it as soon as possible. All right, guys, we only got about 60 seconds left. Giannis, before we go, I want to thank you for doing this with me all the way from Rome, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, matey poos, and I'm hoping to catch up with some of the Fulham fans next Saturday. I'm going to go early to the game. I'm going to get a ticket on Thursday and get some wobbly pops and meet with some fans and have a good laugh and hopefully see the boys turn over the Eagles.
Okay, fantastic. And Mike, thank you again for joining me today. We only got about 50 seconds, but I just want to thank you, my friend.
Okay, no problem, Russ. Hopefully see you next week, Giannis.
Mikey, I'm okay. Looking. Listen, I'll get in contact with you.
Okay. Well, listen, this has been a great episode of Cottage Talk. I want to thank David Holly, Mike Gregg, I almost said Mike Rigg, and of course, Giannis Janaeus for doing the show with me. And again, we will be back very soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
Take it easy, Mikey. See you, Rossi. Bye, Mikey.